Welcome. You're listening to Latin Waves with your hosts, Sylvia and Stuart Richardson. Latin Waves is a syndicated show produced in the studios of CJSF Radio in Burnaby, BC. Latin Waves is more than just hot rhythms. This is a show about community, about creating a culture that is inclusive and based on fairness. Because everyone deserves dignity, respect, and has something to contribute. A new world is possible, and it all starts with us.
And in this present, I can see change happening. I can see women becoming the cosmic messengers of change. And that's so powerful.
That was the voice of Marcelo Saavedra, Aymara elder and professor at the University of Ottawa in the Department of Aboriginal Studies. This is the final segment of our special series on the teachings of the grandfathers. This segment focuses on the rise of feminine power. In many ways, I think that there is a need to make meaning of our life, and this imposed memory loss that we suffer from, it's at times maintained by coercion, by continuous violence. And I think it seems like we have to do both at the same time. We have to stop participating in the violence against nature, which in many ways redefines our own relationship with one another. When we take this stance of arrogance that everything on the earth, everything the earth gives so generously, is up for us to simply take without regard. I was walking my dog the other day. We were just enjoying the lake, and then I noticed this man was fishing, and he had taken two beautiful trout, and you know, a lot of people eat fish, you know, I eat fish, but they were just dying there on the deck. And you know, the idea that maybe he's gonna eat it later, but the idea that he has the right to allow this being to suffer and to just not regard that this life is sacred and is precious, you know, is this knowledge of recognizing that there is a way of coexisting, there is a way of accepting the gifts of nature, and also paying proper respect, treating, you know, our relations with the proper respect. You know, so I asked, you know, what prevents you from putting him, you know, putting the fish in water, you know, until, or treating them in a humane manner. It would be even better if we stop eating meat altogether, if we stop, you know, and had a more sustainable diet based on vegetables. But if we're going to have, you know, a society that consumes meat, then at the very least, to find humane and compassionate ways of being with one another, I think, is one way. So can we talk a little bit about this great law? Because in many ways, I think if we are to organize ourselves in a way that will transform our society, it needs to be both political, ecological, and relational. You know, we need to find a way to reconnect to one another, reinvigorate and regenerate those relationships of respect and coexistence.
You know, this document I mentioned, A Basic Call to Consciousness, this was presented at the United Nations in Geneva in 1977. And it was an address that the Haudenosaunee Confederacy made to the Western world in particular. And actually, the long name is a call for a consciousness of the sacred web of life in the universe. And, you know, this resonates with me a lot, because in the Inca Confederacy, we had the belief that our existences were not only biological existences on this planet. We had the belief that we had cosmic lives. We have cosmic existences, that we were part not only of this planet, but we were part of the whole cosmos. And I think, you know, the great law of peace also acknowledges that. It acknowledges the fact that there is indigenous nations the Mohawk people, the Oneidas, the Onondaga, the Cayugas, the Senecas, and that they decided to stop their conflicts and create a very advanced way of, you know, of constituting themselves. And also that makes me think in the process of creating the new constitution of Bolivia, for instance, and El Ecuador as well, in which we try to remember. We try to remember the ancestral teachings that we have as Quechua, Aymara, and other Amazonian and other indigenous peoples from the Amazon and the Andes. You know, we manage to remember some of the important things, but most of the text, it still remains like resonating with colonialism. But I think this is a process that has already started, and it's, you know, the next constitution, I think it's going to be closer to our cosmic existences, you know. And I think we are going also to get inspired by Turtle Island nations that gathered together in council to set the principles of what they call Gayaneshakskoa, which is the great law of peace. You know, in this great law of peace, they evolved a law by which they denied vertical hierarchies, because they also saw this as a source of conflict. But they also saw that, you know, they needed to make this great law of peace more complex, so they could, you know, talk to these other nations as well. And in that sense, they, you know, the Haudenosaunee actually means the people of the longhouse. So they created as a metaphor of how things are administered in a political setting, the longhouse. So in the longhouse, there were like two entrances. One was, you know, one side of the longhouse was where the grandmothers were, and the other side was where the grandfathers were. And again, you can see there the chachawarmi, the parity. So the grandmothers were the ones that were actually taking the most fundamental decisions, because, you know, these people, they acknowledge that creation comes from the feminine side. It doesn't come from the male side. So they acknowledge this, so they said, well, you know, the grandmothers are going to be the ones taking the, you know, the most fundamental decisions for our confederacy. And these grandmothers, when they are in a council, they decide who the chief is going to be. The chief is always a man, but the ones that take the decisions are the women. You know, so many people that kind of hear about this confederacy, they say, oh, yeah, but this was a male-dominated culture, and that's totally false. Actually, this was a society, a culture that was not dominated by either sex. It was a complementary situation between opposing forces. Again, chachawarmi. So the circle of grandfathers, they were always like deployed in an outer circle, and the circle of grandmothers taking the decision, they were at the core of the formation, you know. And that was, again, like two circles making true to the notion of parity.
I have one last question. And, you know, in many ways, women have been at the forefront of creating, liberating movements ever since colonization. You've in the past told me the story of our grandmother who led the liberation of people in Haiti. And I often feel moved and invigorated by that history. At the same time, I'm often saddened by the way that women themselves internalize this sense of victimization. It's not accidental. In many ways, the violence, the rape of women that is now endemic worldwide kind of beats down that message that we're born to be victims. But I think learning from our grandmothers who led courageous battles against colonial power, who led courageous battles and inspire all the men, you know, Tupac prime example of that resistance needs to be revived. And so I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that revival, because we need to remember who we are as women, that that our power is not superior, but that our power has simply been suppressed by a terrible repression throughout these centuries.
Yeah, I think it is very important what you say, Sylvia, because as a woman, you have to remember who you are, you know, like an expression of the female force field. But me as a man, I also have to trace back my origins to a woman. You know, we all come from a woman in our species and many other species, you know, but in terms of our ancestors, my ancestors, you know, you and I as indigenous, as Indians, we have a common ancestor, and her name was Anacaona, and she's our grandmother. She belonged to the Taino people, and she was the first woman, she was the first person that started the long resistance we're still doing nowadays. Anacaona, she was a grandmother, although she was very young. She was about no more than 30 years old. And she revolted against the Spaniards in the Caribbean when they tried to... there was this governor called Nicolás de Ovando, and they tried to, you know, use the Taino people as slave labor to produce gold. So Anacaona, she decided that no, that they were going to resist. And it was a deliberate decision she took. And she led her people to resisting the oppression and the exploitation of the Spaniards. And since Anacaona rose up, we haven't stopped. And all of the uprisings, all of the rebellions that we've had as indigenous peoples, they have been basically led by women. You know, like maybe one of the last expressions that we can talk about is Chief Theresa Spence, that she went on hunger strike to awaken her people and to awaken other indigenous peoples, and also to awaken all peoples about the oppression, about the abuse that we were talking about the nonsense of this industrial era. So all along, you see women have been always at the forefront of resistance. And if you don't believe me, just take a look at any revolution and any rebellion, and you're going to see that, yeah, most of the times it is men that are the comandantes, that are the captains, the commanders, the military person, but the ones that are at the forefront, you know, offering their lives, they're always women. I mean, I've done that research with pictures, you know, like of the water war in Bolivia, the resistance in Nicaragua in the Sandinista period, in El Salvador as well, in Cuba, you name it. And women have been, you know, the moving force of all these rebellions and uprisings in our continent and beyond. So it is so important, and I mean, this is just one aspect, you know, this is more like a political aspect. But at a more profound level, at a spiritual level, we need to understand that there is two forces in this universe. And one force has been overwhelmingly dictating what we are, what we are supposed to be as humans. And it is time that we, as I told you before, that we yield to this other force that is there just waiting for the proper time to come about and, you know, bring back equilibrium to our lives. And that's the force field of woman, of the feminine force field. And it's there. I can feel it. I can see it in many expressions. There is 13 grandmothers going about the planet trying to help the rebirth of a new breed of people. It's trying, you know, they're trying to help people awakening to this long nightmare of patriarchal rule, of capitalism and colonialism. One of the most important crises we are in today is the food crisis, and at the base of this crisis, it is the seeds. And who have been the ones keeping the seeds alive and taking care of them, being guardians of the seeds? They have been women. Actually, this period of time, the agricultural period of time, has been begun by women realizing that they could actually take the seeds of the plants and reproduce them, you know. And eventually, men took over and they started this, you know, the agricultural process, when they had to basically get rid of all other beings on the land to create an agricultural plot so they can manage the soil. But the women, they didn't do that. They were guardians of seeds. And even nowadays, you know, like in India, for instance, they are like forming seed banks, and these are all led by women. In my own country, in Honduras, in Cuba, all these instances of seed savings and seed sharing, they are led by women. And it's happening, Sylvia.
The seeds of revolution, the seeds of coexistence, the seeds to peace, I think, are harvested, are planted, have been planted on deep wounds of repression. And I guess for all indigenous people who struggle today for visibility, for recognition of their sacredness in our lives, you know, of the sacredness of our life, who are journeying together to create this world of coexistence and communion, what would you say to them? How would you inspire that the time for us has come, and that that we can be successful?
I've been thinking about being a social activist here in Canada, and sometimes I get discouraged because, you know, things don't happen here in Canada. And I usually have the background of having lived in Nicaragua in a revolutionary time, and also have the background of being born in Bolivia and being a revolutionary activist in Bolivia as well. And sometimes I get a bit annoyed by how people fail to understand that we need to change things now, not tomorrow. But then I see young people, you know, I am in touch with many of my students, and I see the courage they have, the clarity of mind they have. So I see this woman just becoming so passionate about what they are doing, becoming, you know, organized, mobilizing, doing all kinds of things. Like, you know, yesterday actually I was with one of my students that took off about 3 months. She went to the Amazon, and previously this past summer she was in India, and she was also in Vietnam on her own. She's a young girl. She's like no more than 23 years old, you know, and she's accumulating all this knowledge, and she's just full of energy to change this world, you know, and she's acknowledging that the agency to change things is in her because she's a woman. And she's assuming her role as a woman, and she's leading things. And now she's planning to go to Morocco for 6 months, and so I am sure that she's going to, you know, do great things. And I have like hundreds of students like that, both women and men, but mostly women. And that's really encouraging. And I don't want to use the word hopeful, because I am against hope, because that's quite paralyzing, but rather I opt to live the present. Hoping is more about the future, but no, I need to live the present. I need to be embedded in my present, because that's the only thing I can change. And in this present, I can see change happening. I can see women becoming the cosmic messengers of change. And that's so powerful. that it moves so many things. It's moving like they're not only them that are just mobilizing, but it's moving also people like at large, you know, like the Occupy movement, the Idle No More movement. These things are basically led by women. If that is not inspiring, I mean, what is, you know? We need to be taking action. It's not enough just to feel or to think. You know, those are two realms of existences. But we need to take action, because the only way in which we can be true to our future generations, in the only way we can be good ancestors, is by taking actions. And taking actions mean being responsible. Responsible comes from the root word respondere in Latin, which means give back. We have to give back to our true mother. But also responsibility comes from responsibility. You have to be able to respond. And women have been able to respond since they have been women. You know, they have to respond to their children. So it's a natural disposition they have. It's a cosmic tendency they have. And we have to be like that. It is a time in which we have to follow the grandmothers, we have to follow the mothers, we have to follow the wives, we have to follow the daughters. And that's what I try to teach, to share in my classes with my students. You know, if you need to be inspired, just take a look at your mom, at your grandmother, at the woman around you. You're going to find what it takes to be a prudent, wise, and responsible human being.
Thank you so much for being with us. And as Tupac once said, today you kill a man, but one day we will be millions. I don't know how to say it in his language, but I'm always inspired by the long-standing legacy of our resistance and by the sacredness in the teachings that continue to inspire us today.
Thank you, Silvia. For me, it is a real honor to be in this journey with you, because when we are talking like this, we are a Chachawarmi. We are complementing each other, sometimes from opposing places, but always complementing each other. And this is a magical journey whenever I talk to you.
Thank you so much. The honor is all mine. Blessings to you. Take care. That was Marcelo Saavedra. He is a professor at the University of Ottawa in the Program of Aboriginal Studies. Take care. We will conclude the program with Dana Lyon's Three-Legged Coyote. For information on Dana Lyon's music, please visit cowswithguns.com. Thank you for listening.
You're a strong one, broken. We have come to the end of our show, Latin Waves. Latin Waves is a weekly syndicated program produced and broadcast from the studios of CGSF Radio in Burnaby, BC. The program is available free of charge to campus and community stations across Canada and the U.S. For more information about our work or to support our efforts, please visit our website at www.latinwavesmedia.com. Bye for now.